So today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu with us. Prabhuji, thank you so much. I hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna. Ram Giridhari Prabhu, are you there? Prabhuji, can you hear us?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your association. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Today we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 20, Text Number 139. Ata eva bhakti krishna praptyera upaya abideya balitare sarvashastre gaya. The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This system is therefore called Abhideya. This is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Purport. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, Bhaktya mam abhidhyanati yavam yaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato jyatva vishate tat anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The aim of life is to get rid of the material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. Although the Shastras prescribe different methods for different men, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one ultimately must accept the path of devotional service as the assured path of spiritual advancement. Devotional service to the Lord is the only process actually confirmed by the Lord. Sarva dharman paridyajya mam ekam sharanam braja. One must become a devotee if one wants to return home back to Godhead and become eternally blissful. So we'll discuss this verse in detail today.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedhanta Swamin iti namine, namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanyam, Prabhu Nityanandam, Sri Advaita Gadadar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 20, Text Number 139. This is the chapter Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs
Sanatana Goswami in the science of the absolute truth. So, Mahaprabhu has started explaining about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So, once we have the information about the Sambandha Gyan, then it is imperative for each and every one of us need to operate on that knowledge that we receive. And in our last week discussion, it is very nicely explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where information or the knowledge about Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are His part and parcel is a very important knowledge. But just having that knowledge is insufficient, because with that knowledge we will not be able to easily go to the destination. Hence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended we need a bona fide devotee, Vaishnava, who can help us give direction to go and approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for that, Mahaprabhu has given a very good allegory of Sarvajna astrologer, where he mentioned about how a person who is looking for the father's treasure, when he dug in the northern side, eastern side, western side, southern side, and he gives an example of, he explains that how every direction when we digs, different personality come out. And finally, when he dug in the eastern side, the treasure was available very easily. So Mahaprabhu uses this allegory to explain the importance of taking Krishna consciousness very actively. It is explicitly stated over here where how devotional service is the only process by which we can return home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains there are many processes which helps us to make progress. But unless and until somebody reaches to the stage of pure devotional service, we will not be able to enter the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan Dham. And Mahaprabhu refers this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular conversation that Mahaprabhu is having with Sanatana Goswami, he refers the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he says that how the spiritual knowledge or the devotional service is supreme to all the other processes. So in today's verse, it is explained that the conclusion is to approach Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to approach Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure devotional service or the process of Krishna consciousness as enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas are the only means to get them. And he is referring to the Vedic literature who corroborates that. So in our discussion today, let's look at the principle of transforming ourselves from the current consciousness to finally go to the Supreme Lord. We all have heard about our identity and how we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and how this Krishna consciousness process can take us to the spiritual world and so many things.
So having heard so much of Siddhanta, being a regular student of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what are we expecting ourselves to be doing daily? Especially in today's era when we are teased by technology a lot every day. We are on WhatsApp and Facebook and, you know, social media revolution. Our consciousness had been very much fickle. The very nature of the social media, especially those apps on the smartphone, have made us a kind of an addict. And for the students of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have a rationalization how this apps are devotionally helpful as well, which is not an argument, but a perspective that I want to share here is that as a part of our adapting ourselves to the advancement of technology, we are also losing some inherent nature of human beings, which is to operate on intellect. As human beings, we are supposed to be using our intelligence. When the intelligence is illuminated by knowledge, and using that knowledge, when we start associating with devotees, we get applied knowledge. So with the combination of these three, we are able to make better decisions of what to do and what not to do. But then, because of our current state of Krishna consciousness, which is still we are finding our grounds, and still the technology is taken over us, instead of we using the technology for our convenience, we adapt ourselves to the technology's direction and organize our lifestyle. One major impact that has happened to us is we have become fickle-minded or very much into looking for some regular changes or constant changes or constant switching, which is against Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness, according to materialistic definition, is a boring subject matter. How do they define boring? Do the same thing in a same way, in a same place, with same people for all the time. By materialistic calculation, this means absolutely boring and no fun. How can there be happiness? How can there be eternal bliss when we have same activities in a same place with same people? How is it possible? So from a materialistic angle, Krishna consciousness is boring. But by all these definitions and explanations by great acharyas, what are we aiming for is to slowly withdraw ourselves with so much of varieties, slowly withdraw ourselves from so much of distractions, which are currently an attraction for us. We slowly progress towards quote-unquote, boring lifestyle. Hari Shauri Prabhu once mentioned in an interview when he was a sannyasi, he mentioned that Srila Prabhupada's lifestyle in the planet when he was around amongst us was so predictable was so consistent that to whichever part of the world Srila Prabhupada travel, or how much ever his schedule had been, his activities were pretty constant and consistent. So one of the symptoms of a self-realized soul, one of the requirement for becoming a self-realized soul is to naturally organize ourselves in such a way that we are consistent and that consistency is never compromised. This is called nishta, firmly fixed. So because of our current lifestyle, we not only expect varieties and fickleness in our outside world, we also start to expect that in Krishna consciousness. Today, we will not be able to get satisfied with one single tune of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We will not be able to get satisfied hearing from one single source. We will not be able to satisfied by seeing, you know, staying in one single place. We are not against varieties. We are not disagreeing with hearing from multiple places. We are not against hearing different tunes of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are not against that. But the principle behind this, that why are we looking for all these things if they have the, if we have a Krishna consciousness reason, then it is to be rejoiced. But incidentally, along with Krishna consciousness substantiation, we have our materialistic agenda also. So in that case, our journey in Krishna consciousness, looking forward for so many wonderful varieties in Krishna consciousness, whilst it is appreciated, we need to remember that somewhere in some point in time, we need to live a boring lifestyle from the perspective of materialistic people. If we see a successful devotees, or whom we call as, you know, those people who are glorious in this nature, in the spiritual journey, if we see their lifestyle and activities, let us take Haridas Thakur. Let's take Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Let's take all the great souls, Madhavendra Puri. Take everybody in the disciplic succession. They have demonstrated that for our sadhana, for our individual practice in Krishna consciousness, what is needed is focused, being consistent, and not necessarily to get distracted by 20 other things. The only time when all these great souls, they participated in all the other activities, is to preach. So, after I got married on 17th May in Mayapur, me and my wife went to Pankajangri Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu to take our blessings. My wife used to live in Mayapur before the marriage. And after the wedding, we went to take his blessings. So, after, you know, offering our obeisances, we got up. And I don't remember whether it was Pankajangri Prabhu or Jananivas Prabhu. He mentioned that you are a Rakshasa. But that's the first thing he said after I got up from obeisance. I said, wow, how come they know it very, you know, accurately. But I don't know how to respond. They said, you are taking a soul away from the dham. Because I am living in Bombay and my wife is in Mayapur. She had been in Mayapur for like 6-7 years. They were kind of relocated from South India to Mayapur and settled there. And after marriage, I was to leave the same day or the next day. And so when he said, you are a Rakshasa taking a devotee away from Dham, I don't know what to say. So then my wife came to rescue and, you know, she said that my Prabhu in Bombay, he does some preaching programs and organizes some bhakti vrikshas and stuff like that. So as soon as she said that, you should see the face of those two twin brothers. They became immediately very pleasing and said, if you are living in a city, it's definitely needed to preach. Otherwise, there is no reason to live in a city. So if you are preaching and glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it's okay. So the principle that I want to say is, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that the conclusion is that devotional service is the only means, and in the purport Srila Prabhupada writes, the aim of life is to get rid of material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. So we need to understand what is this material conditioning all about. Today we are conditioned around our technology. We are conditioned around our mind. We are conditioned around our lifestyle. We are conditioned around our family members. We are conditioned around varieties that we expect. By this Krishna consciousness preaching program, all we have done is we have purified our conditioning by adding Krishna, which is a very good step. But we need to remember that this step is actually interim. It is not a long step. If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, technology or all these varieties are not going to help. How we withdraw ourselves from all this external conditioning and focus on the spiritual agenda, that's when the devotional journey actually begins. Pure devotional service actually begins. In the previous two shlokas, Srila Prabhupada used the word gradually. So definitely we are not in the wrong place, we are not in the wrong path, we may not be in the wrong pace, but at least we also should know that at some point in time, we need to withdraw ourselves from all that conditioning that we are in to finally be resolute in our journey of Krishna consciousness and live one and only for the Supreme Lord. There used to be a Dadu, old man, I forgot his name. He passed away just 5, 6, 7 years before in Vrindavan Dham. He was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had mentioned him that the entire Vrindavan is in Krishna Balaram temple. So please serve here and take care of the services for the temple. That's a personal advice Srila Prabhupada gave him. I was told by the devotees, for 30 years, this old person or this devotee, Prabhupada's disciple, lived in Vrindavan Dham. And the devotees mentioned that not even one day this Prabhu left the compound of Krishna Balaram temple. He mentioned, or the devotees mentioned, that he is to be in so much ecstasy always in Vrindavan Dham because he used to experience Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Giriraj, everything in Krishna Balaram temple. So please don't misquote me or don't try to misunderstand what I am trying to say, that in our spiritual journey we need to know how much materially conditioned are we. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were materially conditioned about our material consciousness. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and after hearing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are materially conditioned for our spiritual agenda. And all I am saying is, we need to be spiritually conditioned for our spiritual agenda. Otherwise, we will be spiritually conditioned for material agenda. So there are four classifications. Before coming into Krishna consciousness, I was materially conditioned. What is materially conditioned means? My thinking, feeling, everything will be materially dominated. And what is my expectation? What is my output? It's also material. It's clear-cut classification of materialistic life. What is an ultimate goal? We are supposed to be spiritually conditioned and spiritually conscious. Gopis, their conditions were also spiritual, their consciousness were also spiritual, Their expectations are also spiritual. There is no tinge of personal agenda. And in between, we are in two zones. One zone is that I am materially conditioned, but trying to be spiritually conscious, which is what we are. What is material condition? I like different Hare Krishna Mahamantra tunes. Hare Krishna Mahamantra tunes is glorious. But what do I like? What do I like in this? Mantra or the tune? If I like the mantra, Jai. If I like the tune, then the tone of Jai should be a little less. The reason is the purpose of we using different tunes, the purpose of we bringing in different varieties used to purify our material conditioning. So we should not settle in there. We should definitely try to come out of this material conditioning and eventually purify spiritual conditioning for spiritual consciousness. But there's a small trick here. If we do not be resolute in this path, then there is a small slippage and that might create a biggest problem, which is we will use spiritual conditioning, so-called spiritual conditioning, for our materialistic lifestyle, which is called pretenders. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj very strongly condemns that when somebody is living in the temple, when somebody is trying to take advantage of Krishna consciousness resources and leading a lifestyle which is supposed to be ascetic, but internally in consciousness, if we are materialistically motivated, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says such a person should be strongly condemned. And for that types of person, he has written a poem called Vaishnava Ke. In that Vaishnava Ke, very nicely, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, what type of Vaishnava are you? And he is questioning his own mind. So look at those devotees, acharyas. Raghunath Das Goswami, he written Mana Siksha. So there are different personalities who are coming to help us get rid of our material conditioning. So we need to remember that our zone to be in is supposed to be, we are spiritually conditioned for spiritual consciousness. Rest all the other zones are not good. Today, we are in the material conditioned for spiritual consciousness, which is fine and we can still make it. So we need to make sure that we do not be the other way around, where we use spiritual conditioning and for our materialistic consciousness. That way, our spiritual journey will be completely doomed. So we are going to have five principles that we are going to learn for our journey in Krishna consciousness to eventually make it to the Supreme Lord. So these five principles are something that we can contemplate on and we can put in practice. And eventually, we will be able to experience and be with Krishna. Since this is a conclusive statement of Abhideya, Abhideya means application. So knowledge part is done, Sambandha. Abhideya is application. And eventually, we will discuss Prayojana, which means the result of this application. Srila Prabhupada did not start ISKCON for us to become scholars. And in fact, we should not become scholars at all for the sake of being one. Our purpose of Krishna consciousness is to control the mind, to control the intelligence, to dovetail them for glorifying the Supreme Lord and dedicate our life for that. So we need to get rid of this material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. So that should be the aim of our life, according to Srila Prabhupada. So the five principles that we are learning, going to learn today, is something very sublime and which is something which is practical for us to contemplate on. So the first principle for us to practice devotional service, I am telling from the context for all of you and all of us, including me, we are students of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is highly expected of us to show some seriousness and not just lead our devotional life in not so serious manner. So the principle number one is be seen. We need to behave in a way that we are seen. Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada as well has mentioned that it is the duty of a practitioner to behave in such a way that the spiritual master wish to see, wish to engage the disciple and wish to be involving him a devotional service. To be seen should be our first target, which means our activities, our consciousness, our priorities, our choices are supposed to be chosen in such a way that we are seen by self-realized souls. So the point is that at this stage, expectation is not necessarily to be pure. Expectation is that we at least have our attitude clarified. This is a very important foundational phase. I was discussing last week about morality and ethics. So here in Krishna consciousness, this is a very careful choice of our characteristics and behavior, that our focus is more towards our journey of Krishna consciousness than what others would think about us. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport, a quote by Yamunacharya. He mentions, the quote is, if the whole world is glorifying me, if the Supreme Lord does not looks at me, what is the value of that glorification? If the whole world is abusing me, I'm just paraphrasing, but the Supreme Lord is very happy about me. When we say Supreme Lord, it means Supreme Lord and His dear devotees. Then what is the loss for us? We are not trying to propose anything impractical or trying to be fanatics. But at least we need to make sure our consciousness needs to be pretty much reflective and introspective enough that our devotional journey needs to be given utmost importance. Hence we organize our characteristics, choice of words, choice of eating, choice of dressing, choice of living, choice of friends, choice of marriage. Everything that we need to, whenever we have an opportunity, we need to make a better choice. So to be seen is what is Krishna first see. How much you are putting an endeavor? This is just a beginning point. Principle number two. Because I am working on it, because I am working to be seen by self-realized soul, the second principle hence is to be humble. So be seen be humble. The word humble has been used in the context of Krishna consciousness lectures almost like, you know, there will be almost every second lecture we use this word. But the word humility has to be understood from the context that humility means thoughts centered around Krishna, not thinking low about ourselves. Because many times we think humility means thinking low of ourselves. Actually, humility means not to think about ourselves as a center of all we need to enjoy. Rather, we need to think Krishna as a center of our life, and we are his servants, servants, servant. So this humbleness is an important catalyst. So whatever humility understanding that we all have, this catalyst needs to be used in every class, in every subject matter, to make it complete. So the second principle, immediately after to be seen. This is very chronologic and natural progression for us to work on. And it's like a spiral. We keep repeating, you know, upwards. So to be seen, to be humble. But the purpose of us to be humble is not just to be, you know, silent or keeping quiet or don't talk to anybody or go for a secluded place. So that tells the third principle is to be conscious. I am humble. I have made my choice of living, eating, dressing, talking, everything else to be seen. But I am also conscious of my duties and responsibilities, both towards my conditional duties as well as to my constitutional duties, are done for the pleasure of the spiritual master as well as for setting an example for the next generation. So the third principle is to be conscious. We need to be absolutely conscious that everything belongs to Krishna. So this principle of in the care of, I am just the caretaker of Krishna's resources. Hence those resources need to be utilized, engaged for Krishna's service. There is nothing that we possess belongs to us. Matruvat paradareshu paradravyeshu lostravat atmavas sarvabhuteshu yapaschati sa panditaha. Chanakya Pandita says. So that should be the principle, that we should be conscious. We should not be attached to things, and we should be making sure that everything that comes in our way belongs to Krishna and should be engaged in Krishna's service. That's being conscious. And fourth principle is about being grateful. Being grateful because that we are now discussing, hearing, talking, touching, feeling, seeing, enjoying Krishna consciousness by the mercy of our bona fide spiritual masters and Vaishnavas. And as well, this knowledge is definitely helping us to transform our consciousness. So gratefulness is again another inseparable quality, a catalyst, when we discuss about devotional service. So in the previous verses it is explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how by unflinching faith and devotional service, being very dear to the devotees and sadhus, I am attained. All the other processes, even if you take sannyas, even if you study Vedas, even if you do some analytical study, even if you perform some very complicated meditative process, I am not going to be pleased. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayo ratavi manaso muni pungavanam.
Pantastu koti satavatsara, which means koti satavatsara means tens and thousands of years. Muni pungavanam, these munis are performing meditation for what? To get darshan of the tip of my toe for 1 second. But I am not making myself available to them beyond that 1 second. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayo ratabi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapada chimnya vichintya tatve govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. But I am easily accessible to devotees. That's why Krishna is sucking his own toe while lying on the banyan leaf. What is so special in my toe that everybody is chasing after it? So, the fourth principle is we need to be grateful to those devotees, to those wonderful personalities because of whom we have some opportunity to hear Krishna and participate in Krishna's. And if you do these four, naturally you will see Krishna in your life. So the fifth principle is be with Krishna. We will eventually, after leaving this body, we will go back home, back to Godhead, if you are purified completely, and we are going to be with Krishna. But as we are progressing in this journey, we will see, feel, realize Krishna and Krishna's Midas touch. Be seen, be humble, be conscious, be grateful, and be with Krishna are the five principles of application for reviving and rejuvenating our devotional life to an extent that we will be able to go back home, back to Godhead, when we are purified. Gopis, they were so much in love for Krishna, they could do anything for the Supreme Lord. And with that love, Krishna gets captivated and Krishna chases after that personality. So, when Rupa Goswami was explaining about this process of pure devotional service, he explains this pure devotional service is Krishna Akarshani. This pure devotional service attracts Krishna. When Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, gopis met him and requested him, please do not leave. When Akrura was trying to take Krishna away, so many people came and pleaded, please, Krishna, don't go. You are our everything. You are our dearmost person. Without you, our life won't be complete. So, but Krishna had his own plan. So Krishna said, you know, Krishna wanted to really increase their love and mellow, and also to show to the whole world how great gopis were. So then Krishna called all the gopis, okay, I will not leave. So he put an impossible condition on them and said that if they could produce an elephant, he would not leave. So, because Krishna knew at that point in time in Vrindavan where they will go and find an elephant. So they were so much mad for Krishna that all the gopis, not being able to find an elephant,
nine gopis came together and formed a shape of an elephant and presented to Krishna. Krishna, you wanted an elephant? Here we are, an elephant for you. So they all formed, they all assembled themselves in a shape. Somebody became leg, somebody became body, somebody became trunk, somebody became tail. So beautifully they blended themselves amongst themselves that in no moment elephant was there. Actually, this Leela took place in a village called Kunjera, which is just 1 mile from Sri Radha Kund. And this place is still called Navanari Kunjara. The point I am trying to say is that this devotional service is so high, is so wonderful, that it attracts Krishna himself. And when Krishna is attracted, the devotees are drawn towards Krishna. When the devotees are drawn towards Krishna, Krishna is further attracted. Sridhara Swami Maharaj once mentioned that Krishna sometimes used to be so much waiting to an extent that even if the garment of Radharani touches him, Krishna would get goosebumps. So in our temples, we are not just decorating Radha and Krishna dress for the sake of, you know, beautifying. Actually, the Siddhanta is, when Radharani's garment, if you see every temple, ISKCON temple at least, you'll see Radharani's frock or, you know, pallu or something will be touching Krishna. Because Krishna gets so much energy, so much captivated, so much, he gets lost in the love. And just by the touch of Radharani's garment, that is the love pure devotional service bring in. So that's why Krishna says, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, so how to get full consciousness? To be seen, to be humble, to be conscious, to be grateful, and we will be with Krishna. So this is a spiral. So in our spiritual endeavor, let's be prudent enough that we don't use the knowledge which is churned, chewed, realized knowledge to be just jnana for us. Rather, it should be vijnana, applied. So when Mahaprabhu is talking about abhideya, he is not expecting us to just talk some philosophical stuff. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expecting real hand, hardcore devotional service in action. So we need to come out of our drawing rooms, go out there in the streets, win more souls to Krishna, and before doing that, win ourselves to Him. Or whilst doing them, whilst winning more souls, we should win ourselves too. Otherwise, we are doing a greatest injustice to what we have been bestowed with. We would be the most unfortunate having received till our hand, not able to, you know, have enjoyed them. So this conclusive words to explain about abhideya should also reinforce within ourselves that Krishna consciousness is not just part of our life. Krishna consciousness is a way of living. So hence, our endeavor should be not to do things. Our endeavor should be to become a devotee. Today, the choice of doing versus becoming
we are all very happy in doing, which is good. But the purpose of doing certain thing is to become a devotee. So we need to make sure that we need to become devotees. So all the activities that we are doing, they are not for name and fame. And with that mindset, our reading, our association in Krishna consciousness should be focused. So to summarize our discussion today, Srila Prabhupada has already set a directive in this purport, which is the aim of life is to get rid of the material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. And Srila Prabhupada also mentions that devotional service is the only process through which we can go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada is not expecting us to have this happen overnight. So gradual progress is definitely accepted, but graduality should also have some sense to it. So we have been materially conditioned for a materialistic lifestyle. And after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are still materially conditioned, but a spiritual lifestyle, which is what I've explained about our distractions and attractions within Krishna consciousness. But this material conditioning should be withdrawn, and we should be spiritually conditioning ourselves for a spiritual consciousness. And if we are not carefully doing that, we will be using our spiritual conditioning for our materialistic life, which is completely disastrous. And to put us into the right journey, in the right pace, there are five principles proposed. Principle number one is to be seen. We work in such a way to be seen by the Lord and His devotees. To be humble, to be conscious, to be grateful, and to be with Krishna. And this is an upward spiral, and we keep doing it every day to find that one fine day we are with Krishna, and that journey is going to be eternal and beneficial for us as well as the humanity at large. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. God Premanande Hari Hari Bol. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for a very informative class, instructive class. As you were mentioning that this is an upward spiral, so it's not. I sometimes feel that this is up. What is it? Forward, backward. One step forward, two steps back. How do we maintain that forward journey? And what are the milestones how do we know that we are progressing, that we are becoming more spiritual, and not just using the spiritual for our material needs?
Right. This is a very important question and a very valid question, and I think we did discuss in the past about self-analysis and self-measurement of our spiritual journey. And of course, there are many, many stages. At different stages, we have different measuring points. But one of the important steps, or the first steps in the analysis of whether I am in the right track or not, is to ask questions. So if we have taunting regular questions on us, oh my God, how am I going to become a devotee? So that is a very interesting sign in our spiritual life. I always tell my students that it should taunt your consciousness that I need to be a devotee. Every day when any devotional service is happening, if we see others, if we try to map it with so many other devotees, then that's not good for us. If we see ourselves, where do I stand? Am I doing nicely? Am I doing okay? So if we try to reflect and be introspective, so that is nice. So we used to had a discussion, I think, a couple of times. I mean, I think in this forum or as well as the Bhagavatam, you know, groups, I do not know. We did discuss about 6 tests that we can do to ourselves to evaluate, are we making a progress. I'll come to your point on forward and backward part, but at least a regular milestone to check is on 6 parameters. So basically this whole thing is split into 3 parts. First is a 3 immediate test. The 3 is expanded to 6, and the 6 is expanded to 12. Okay, so we will discuss the 12 part analysis sometime later. But the 3 part analysis is, number 1, how much we have developed taste towards chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Number 2, how much we have reduced our sense gratificatory propensity, sense gratificatory activities. And number 3, how much our enviousness have come down. So this is, even a Kanishta should be able to cross-check this. So if you are chanting, if you are developing interest, oh, I should chant more. If you are chanting to finish our prescribed number of rounds, it's good, but that's not great. Because initiation vow says minimum 68 rounds. How much we are longing or eager to, you know, give ourselves to chant more. Oh, I have a vacation now, I'm going to chant today, you know, 64 rounds. Oh, I have some free time, now I'm going to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Not just, you know, count the beads, but chant really. So these are 3 immediate yardsticks. I'm not excluding myself. I'm definitely student to, you know, learn and apply this. But at least as a principle, this is what we have been taught. So these 3 are immediate tests to check your milestone, if you are making progress or not. If you fail here, then don't even go for the next level of test. Am I developing taste in chanting? Are my sense gratificatory needs or sense gratificatory propensity reduced? If I have envy less life, or my enviousness towards others have come down. If these 3 are having good results, then we go to the next step of test. Sometimes we hear devotees to say that, Prabhu, I am generally non-envious towards many people. I am just envious towards 1 or 2 persons only. So the point here is not about the quantum of envy or to how many people you are envy. We need to understand all the values when we speak about. It is irrespective of the external circumstances. No if statement is applied. Krishna, if I had Narada Muni in my life, I would have been a better devotee. If I had a self-realized soul with me every day, I would have made a very wonderful progress. If, like what you did for Dhruva Maharaj, you did not. There's no if. The only if is, if my consciousness is very nicely tamed, I will be able to practice Krishna consciousness nicely. So the first 3 points are, how am I developing taste in chanting? How much I have reduced my sense gratificatory propensity, and how much enviousness have come down. Once we pass this, or once we are better off, then this 3-part test gets increased to 6 parts, which is enthusiasm, service attitude or attachment to one's service, cooperation whilst doing service, or cooperate between different services, asking questions on application and reflecting and checking if I am able to apply what I am hearing. 5th is attentive chanting. 6th is no envy towards this. In our Sangha over here in Bombay, we did a quantitative analysis. In fact, we gave a rating to each of these questions, and we did a quantitative analysis and rated them encouraging, improving, managing, need attention. And it's a two-part assessment, level 1 assessment and level 2 assessments. And we did a very good exercise. I can't do this on the telephone sessions. But this really helps us, and we can keep doing this again and again. Because what happens is that you are the best judge to yourself. If you do not know, nobody else would know.
So hence our milestones. And once you pass this sixth part, then there's a 12-part analysis. I think we'll discuss sometime in the future. Now coming about forward-backward part in the spiritual journey. Actually, Krishna is not worried about our forward-backward part. Krishna is only worried when you are going backward, what do you think? When you are going backward, if you think, oh my God, Krishna, I'm so sorry. Then Krishna is okay. Don't worry, you can make it up. If Krishna, if you say, oh, just only one day I went backward, he'll be all right. That's when the problem start. When Krishna and Arjuna were speaking in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna expressed to Krishna that I can't control my mind, Krishna says that I agree, my dear Arjuna, that it is difficult to control your mind. So this word, I agree, my dear Arjuna, is a very interesting philosophy behind this. Krishna empathizes our situation. It is definitely not impossible for Krishna to control the mind. He is beyond that. But he still says, I agree. Which means Krishna understands where does Arjuna stand and where do we all stand. So if Krishna could empathize our situation, Krishna would not expect anything that is unrealistic of us. So when Krishna knew that we are going to flip, we are going to slip, we are going to have our own challenges, hence Krishna is making necessary support systems and arrangement. All he is expecting is, when you slip and flip, what do you go and say to him? In your last so many number of years in Krishna consciousness, have we not said sorry to Krishna? And how many times Krishna has forgiven us? If Krishna had not forgiven us, how do you think we would have been be sitting and talking Krishna Katha? At least if I put myself in the situation, every day I ask sorry, because every day I make mistakes. If Krishna wouldn't have forgiven, I wouldn't have any qualification to be, you know, sit in front of you all and talk. Even now I don't have, but still, if I'm still doing this service, it's because Krishna and the spiritual masters are kind enough and knowing that we will be going back and forth. So back and forth is not the problem because it is inevitable because of our conditioning. But what do you think when you go back? And more so, what do you think when you go front? When you go back, you should see repentance. And when you go front, you should be grateful. So if these two things are not visible during back and forth, then there's a problem. So our mood should be that reflective and introspective enough that our spiritual life is put into priority than anything else. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you so much. And you did explain the 6-3-step and 6-step process before. I do remember now, but of course, Mandamati, I forgot everything. But thank you for that, and especially the second question. That was also very, very helpful. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. It gives us a lot of hope, actually.
Hare Krishna. Krishna consciousness is a wonderful process. Thank you. Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all Guru Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. As usual, wonderful class, Gopinath Ki Jai Ho, Dandavat Pranam, Jai Shri Radhe.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, I have one question. Regarding your telling, and we should give Krishna consciousness to others also. We should give Krishna consciousness to others also. That time, in the beginning, we wanted to share the Krishna consciousness, and so much of immaturity means we show to other people, and then even though they come in the Krishna consciousness, and then they stop coming in our home program or Bhakti Vritya or like that. And then we discovered, especially myself, maybe we supposed to please Krishna, but if we are supposed to bring more people, but we are even making them to coming stop in the program. And I know that it's very difficult for them if they stop to come, and they will not come very easily, this kind of people, Prabhu. How we can deal in the, and from the beginning, how we should be very careful, but how we can be in that level, Prabhu?
Interesting. If I may, can refer that the, I think it's your child or somebody who's you know, trying to draw your attention. That's the way we are supposed to approach Krishna. Suppose if we approach Krishna in the same way the child was demanding your attention. In fact, a very nice example is given when there are multiple chickens in a nest. When the mother is trying to bring some food, all the chickens make their own noise and the mother feeds them. I'll come to your preaching part in a bit, but I just thought when the child was drawing your attention, I was just thinking that in the context of our today's subject matter, our mood should be that we should really, really scream to an extent that Krishna, you know, gives his attention. Not to irritate him, but to make sure that, you know, we are needing his support, needing his attention. And with that frame of mind, that I need Krishna, so do my brothers and sisters and family members or who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So preaching is actually not an agenda to give Krishna consciousness. That's to give Krishna consciousness preaching. I'm not denying that. But the perspective that we need to be in is that I be a postman to deliver what otherwise Krishna is offering to all of us, and I just become a via media. So if we keep that as our mindset, because what happens is that when we do the mindset of that I am going to preach, I am going to get people, I am going to, you know, be successful, sometimes, not always, sometimes we may get a mindset about that I am the doer or I have been successful. But if we keep a mindset or the mood that I have to be just a postman, that's my job, that is my duty, that's my responsibility, then what happens is that there's a natural humility that comes into our system, and that humility attracts people. And second is, there are a lot of preaching strategies. If we talk about preaching strategies, we can talk about many, many strategies. It has to be customized to time, place and circumstances. Since this is a Siddhanta class, and also I do not know the local dynamics there, so I'm not getting into the strategic part of it. I'm talking about the preparation of our mindset part of it, because 70%, 80% of the problem is not having the right mindset. So we are not doing some social gathering, we are doing a spiritual gathering. So to get more people attracted to your Bhakti Vriksha program, you need to be exemplary enough. To have more people coming into Krishna consciousness, you need to behave like a, you know, a postman. We need to have much success in our preaching endeavor. We need to lock ourselves and preach to ourselves. By our conduct, by the words that you speak, by the face of your, the transformation of your face, by the food you eat, all your surroundings will change, because Krishna will not let you suffer your endeavor in Krishna consciousness. He will bring in challenges. He may apparently put you in some sort of a trouble, but those are all meant for eliminating the unwanted variables around your preaching, around your existence. So, as I said, I may not be able to very specifically answer your preaching strategy part of it, but at least I can tell you about the preaching mood part of it. The preaching strategy-wise, if at all you need some specific help, we can take it offline. I can share some thoughts of how we all do different preaching strategies and different yatras. But otherwise, as a mindset, as a Bhakti Vriksha person, we are not... When I was joining in Krishna consciousness, I used to think myself some great person, you know, God, Krishna consciousness, as it is, Prabhupada, because we are pumped up with so wonderful glories about them. I used to come and behave like a great mahant in my house and think my father and mother and sister, they are some bunch of, you know, idiots, didn't know what Krishna consciousness. But then it took some time for me to realize that, you know, we need to be grounded and, you know, show by our own character and win more souls. I'm not sure if I did completely answer you, but at least I thought I touched based on
Yes, Prabhu, you always give the very a nice answer. Before also you share a lot of point. But these people who are not coming, we can pray for them. Yes, Prabhu, regular and then.
We can pray for them. We can give them prasadam. You can talk about some general neutral things. You can talk about some values-based conversation. We can take them to a non-neutral forum. Prabhupada actually have a, you know, a letter where he says that in cities we need to have some a place where there can be a, just a hall and a sitting arrangement. We can invite people who may not be, you know, interested in coming to a temple or a satsang program. They may be interested in coming to for a general gathering. So Prabhupada said you can facilitate that session. So people may not come is a known factor. But how to make them come, we need to understand according to the local dynamics. Because there are 1,000 variables that might, you know, contribute towards that. Sometimes there are maybe some past, sometimes there may be some wrong strategies, approach. So I may not be able to specifically give that answer unless I know the local situation. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I had a quick question. When you were answering my question, you spoke about an assessment that you have done, you know, that self did, like, what do we need to work on and exactly. Is there any way you can, or is that something that has to be done?
Maybe I can WhatsApp you the way the assessment is done. You can do that yourself. I'll share that with you. It's a simple, you know, it's a simple quantitative analysis. I mean, it may not be very true. I mean, in the sense of it's something that I derived as a part of my teaching to the students over here. So I'm not claiming an authority on this, but it did help us to. Sometimes it's a self-rating, but I've also done this with this rating, what is better, what is not better, kind of. I can share that with you. I think I have your number. I'm coming, it's popping out of the screen. I can WhatsApp that to you. Maybe you can, you know, see yourself.
That would be nice. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the very beautiful question answers. It was very helpful for me. And also, I like the point that you made about the being versus doing. I think that was very beautiful. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your continued association and inspiring all of us every time. Thank you, Prabhu. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay, so thank you again, and thanks to all the devotees who participated so nicely with the question and answers. We can end the call now. Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai.
Prabhu ki jai. Thank you very much, Swadhanam Prabhuji, for wonderful assistance.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Very nice
guy. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Bully, sir.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.